Okay, so let's pick up where we left off yesterday. We're on Chavavim and Beis. We set out, basically, yesterday, the machlokas between Rashi and the Rosh regarding this concept of Aveda Midas. The question was, the Rosh says that in a situation where the Baal HaKli is the one that throws the Kli off the roof, then we have this notion of Aveda Midas, and I wouldn't need the chiddush, if you will, of the Gemara of mana the tvira tavar. I don't need to be taught that the reason why the person on the ground swatting the keli is potter because of mana tvira tavar. I don't need that when it's the Baal HaKeli that's throwing it off the roof. Why? Because I have a different principle of the principle of aveda midas. Rashi, however, felt that no, even with the fact, as he posits, even with the fact that it's the Baal HaKeli that's throwing the Kli off the roof, I would still need to be taught that the reason why the person on the ground is potter is because of what? Mana the Tvira Tavar.
What's Aveda Midas?
Aveda Midas basically means he's doing it willingly. The Baal HaKeli is throwing it. So the Rosh says that's some form of Hefker. The Rosh said that when you throw your Kli off the roof, it's basically like you're making a Hefker. Come what will, you don't care. And therefore, if someone else swats it, he's not liable. And I don't need any special chiddush for that. I don't need this concept, this new yisod of mana the tvira tavar to tell me that's why he's potter. It's pashut. You a mafka, your item. Apparently, Rashi doesn't hold that way. Rashi doesn't hold that that's akin to hefker. And the question is why. And there are a number of different approaches you find in the classic mafarshim, but I'd like to first hear what you have to say. Unless you think that this is, you know, localized, we saw that there was a machlokas in general between the Rambam and the Rambam and the Tur as to whether or not Aveda Midas is Hefker or not. The Rambam held that what?
Not
it's not Hefker. The only kula that you had by Aveda Midas was what?
You can't take it, but if you took it, you have to return it.
You're not chayiv to pick it up and return it. You're not chayiv to be machzir his Aveda.
Right.
Now I'll have to take it for yourself.
You can't take it, but if you happen to take it, you don't have to return it.
I don't know if you'll have to take it.
He leaves it in the street.
Right.
You don't have to go, oh, you dropped this.
Normally, if I find your aveda, I can't just walk by and say, eh, I have to take care of it. Lo sucho lo salin.
You can't take it, but you don't have to return it.
I can't take it, but I don't have to be metapa with it. I can't take it for myself, but I also don't have to busy myself with returning it. What's that?
Something's going to happen to it eventually.
Yeah.
Might as well take it.
What do you mean something's going to happen to it eventually?
The next guy's going
to it's not someone else. I don't know what's going to happen to him. Maybe he'll go into oblivion. Maybe he'll have to go and find it on his own. I don't know. It's not my problem what happens to it. That's not my achrayus. I don't have to worry about maybe a Gentile will take it. I don't know. Someone who's not bound by halacha. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't have to be bothered by it, says the Rambam, but I can't take it. The Torah, on the other hand, held no, that Aveda Midas is called Hefker. And we see the same machlokas trickling down over here. Rashi, Aveda Midas, not called Hefker. Rosh, yes, called Hefker. Now, is it any accident that the Tur is the son of the Rosh? And he holds that Aveda Midas is Hefker? It's probably not. But actually, yeah, you see that there's a machlokas like that. So what's the sad to say that Aveda Midas is yes Hefker, like the Rosh? And what's the sad to say that Aveda Midas is not yet Hefker, like Rashi?
Question on that.
So yes.
Unless you had pointed this out, unlikely any of us would have figured it out on our own.
Which?
Like
the Rambam?
That's the Hefker versus non-Hefker distinction, right? So how would one attempt to go about making these distinctions if you don't know exactly where to look?
It says in the Rosh.
Well, the Rosh does spell it out pretty much. You're right. He doesn't say, well, Rashi doesn't agree with me because he doesn't hold that Aveda Midas is not Hefker, but he's clearly pointing out that Rashi is forcing himself into saying that it's the Baal HaKli. And the Rosh is saying, well, I don't need to say that it's the Baal HaKli. I could very easily say that it's someone else, and I could explain why the Talmud doesn't address the thrower, right? But then we're left with the question. We're left with the question, why didn't Rashi learn like the Rosh? Oh, because Rashi holds Right? Rashi holds that there's still a chiddush. There's still a need for mana tviyah tavar, even though it's the Baal HaKli. The Rosh saying there is no chiddush. See, they're both confronted, or they're both presented with the same statement in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the reason why the swatter is potter is because of mana tviyah tavar. Okay, so given that fact, Rashi says, well, who is the thrower? Who's the thrower? The Baal HaKeli. Now, once you tell me that's the Baal HaKeli, and you see the Rosh's question, now I know something about Rashi. I know that Rashi understands that even if it's the owner of the Keli that's throwing it, I still need the special rule of Mana Tvir Tavar to tell me that that's why the swatter is Pater. Whereas the Rosh says, no, that would be Pashat. So I see there's some machlokas over there.
How is that going to translate into Tvir Tavar?
Something that's broken, he's breaking.
What is the Rosh saying is Pashat? A Mana Tavar would not be above.
If it's the Baal HaKeli that's throwing it, then of course, person on the ground is potter. I don't need Mana Tvir Tavar. I don't need a Chiddush to tell me that. I don't need a new Yisod. If I see you throw your item into the river and I go and take it, I don't need a special rule to tell me why I could take it. You threw it away. Zach? Question? This is from the Shiri of Shimon Shkab, Bava Kama, Simon Chaf Dalet. Amar Rabba, Zara Kli Mirosh Hagag, Uba Acher Veshav, Rabbi Makel, Potter. My Taima, Mona Tavir Tavar, Pirish Rashi, Zarak Baal HaKli, Ayin Barosh, De Kavanosal Otarets, Madalo Hiskir Rabba, Din HaZorik, and Mishamachi, Pirish Rashi, Zorik Baal HaKli. Vachronim Hikshu, Midivri Rashi, on Yuzainam and Bays, Shekosov, Petur Hamashaber v'chayev hazorek. Ayin yama Talmud sheherech bepilpulim shonim lefi devarav. Uladaiti nira de be'emes mayri rabba bebal hakeli. Kevan shalosh shanalon beheje din hazorek. Aval hashas le'el de pashat mi rabba de basar mi karzli nahainu le'inyon l'chayev es harishon. De mizet pashtina le'el l'shitas rashi v'tosos harash. The Dris al Akeli even is Galgal al Makom Acher, the Chayev Nezek Shalom Ayin Sham. I'm going to skip ahead because this portion is Shaykh to the Yud Zayin, which we'll have to come back to in a moment. Let me get to what I think is the key point over here. Oh boy. Okay. Just bear with me one second. So what he says is the following: Kavon, since the Baal Karchach Mayri Beofen Sheefshar Lahatzil, he assumes that we're talking about over here is a case where it was thrown off by the Baal HaKeli, let's assume it was thrown off by the Baal HaKeli, but in such a way that it could have somehow been saved or been stopped, whatever that way would be, doesn't matter at the moment. Somehow, the Baal HaKeli could have saved his item. Didn't necessarily have to be destroyed. Since that's the case, goes on to say, Mishem Hochi Sover Rashi, the Eino Nasa Hefker, Bizrikoso. Rashi holds that because there is some way to still save this keli, it doesn't necessarily become hefker when it's thrown off. The harash sover, the after efshar lahatzil, even though it could be saved, the rush says, even though it could be saved, nonetheless, mikol mokom, kevon, since the Baal HaKeli, Zorek midas b'makom shekarov lihishaver vaday daito lahafkir. So let me just tell you what he's saying factually, and then you'll tell me what you think he's saying beyond the simple meaning. And I think maybe that's one approach to explain this machlokas. He's saying like this: we're talking about a case in where the keli could somehow be saved. It doesn't necessarily have to break. It's not an absolute situation in which the keli is going to break. It's possible that it won't break, and maybe there's some way to prevent it from breaking.
Like a football or something?
What do you mean?
If it's a football, that's kind of...
Oh, what the keli is? No, it sounds like it's a breakable keli, but some... Somehow, you know, I don't know, maybe you could run down and get it, or whatever, I don't know. Whatever the metzius is, maybe you threw it onto the grass, so it doesn't necessarily have to be that it's going to smash. Maybe it's going to, you're throwing it, but it doesn't have to necessarily break. It's likely that it's going to break, but it's not definite that it's going to break. Maybe if it hits the rose bush, it will cushion the fall, but if it falls over there, it's going to break. Let me just state what he's saying, and I'll take your comments. So he says, since that's the case, he's positing that those are the facts. If that's the case, Rashi, he says, holds that you're not making a hefker when you throw it, because it could still be saved. Because it could still be saved, right? Whereas the Rosh holds, no. Even though it's possible to be saved, it's possible that it could not break, because they both agree that it's not definitely going to break. Therefore, it's not hefker according to Rashi, but according to the Rosh, that's enough to make it, as he calls it, zorek midas b'makom shekarov lihishaver, more than likely going to break, and therefore daito lahafkir. So let's start with the Rosh. According to the Rosh, what's he saying that you need in order to make something hefker?
Yeah, the Rosh is saying that's out of, once he lets it out of his control, it becomes hefker because he can no longer has it.
Well, he's saying it still could be saved, but
yeah,
what?
It's completely out of his control.
It's karov lishaver. It's more than likely that it's going to break, and therefore what? What am I basically doing? When I put something into that predicament, what am I doing?
You're assuming the law. You're taking the risk that's...
Exactly. It's basically, I'm showing a certain what? I'm showing a certain disregard. I'm showing a certain rejection of my bias over this object. When I put this object into an environment where it's more than likely going to be destroyed or be ruined or be carried away, no longer exist, what am I doing? I'm demonstrating that I'm breaking my connection with it. That's hefker. Right? It's a rejection of the keli. Oh, listen, it's possible that it won't break, but more than likely it is going to break. For the Rosh, that's enough. That's enough to demonstrate your hefkeris, legabe that object. Huh? Well, your lack of desire to continue to own it. It's enough to show your lack of desire to maintain bilos. Just by the way, the Nesivos, one of the classic achronim on Choshen Mishpat, essentially has the same idea. I'll just read his lashon. At the end of Sifkatan Aleph and Resh Samach Aleph, a very similar language, he says, that which we say in Bava Kama, Zar Kli Mirosh Hagag, Uba Acher V'Shavro, Chayev, V'lo Aminan Da'aveda Midas Havei Hefker, why not? Mayri B'Mokam Sheyesh Matzilin. So we're talking about, when is it that a person doesn't say that Aveda Midas is called Hefker? Oh, that's the case where lo miyayish nafshe mishum de'ika gamkein bal tashnes o mitzvah al-cherem latzilo. As long as the thing could still be salvaged, we say that the person didn't necessarily have in mind to fully reject it. Why? Because when I throw something in such a way that I know other people might save it, right? So I'm not fully writing it off. That sounds like who? Not Larash. That's Rashi. What do I need for Rashi?
There is not a case.
That's right. So for Rashi, you need a much, much more.
Case of the cushion would work for Rashi.
Case of the cushion? Case of the cushion is a different case.
That, I'm saying that would be a case that would work for Rashi's logic here. Because it's a chance that it's going to be saved. Because you're banking on getting the cushion.
Yeah, well, everyone agrees. I mean, Gemara says that.
But in this case, we're saying we also think they both think it could be.
Right, over here the Rosh Hashanah Mishkap is saying that here Rashi and the Rosh are both taking for granted that the item could be saved.
But Rosh is saying that also?
Yeah, he's saying they both agree with that. But for the Rosh, that's enough. That's enough, because for the Rosh, what we're saying is his definition of mafkir, his definition of what it takes to make something hefker, is less. If I show a certain willingness to let the thing go, and I'm showing a certain a level of disregard, that's enough to make it hefker. But for Rashi, I need much more. For Rashi, we'll say what I need for Rashi is an actual rejection. An actual rejection of the object.
Has it fit in how it's...
That's why for Rashi, Aveda Midas is not enough to make the guy at the bottom putter. Because it could still be saved. If it could still be saved, why is the guy along the bottom necessarily putter? Well, he's not. He's only putter because of Manat Tavir Tavar. Chiddush. I need a chiddush to potter him. It's not hefker. He's not potter because of hefker. He's potter because of a different chiddush.
Wouldn't it make him hefker's man tavar? Wouldn't that make it hefker?
So it's not...
No, if you didn't have that rule, that what I'm breaking is a broken item, because basically it's going to hit the ground and break, and I just hit it before it hit the ground. If I didn't have that rule, I wouldn't say that you're potter. You need that rule to tell me, to teach me
right,
that. It's not working with Tom Hefker. No, it's not. It's not working with Tom Hefker. It's work. It's a different rule. The rule is not saying that it's Hefker. The rule is saying that basically you broke it.
But is that changing the case?
Because
I thought we were just saying...
That's the Gemara's rule.
But doesn't that make this a case where the cleat is going to break?
Again, everyone agrees that the case is where the cleat is going to break. More likely than not that it's going to break.
But does more likely than not make it not on top of your computer?
Yeah, apparently. According to this, yeah, exactly.
It's not like when he's throwing it, it might break, it might not, but when it's by the guy on the ground, it's like this.
No, since I put the kli in such a predicament that it's more than likely not going to break, when I break it...
That invites Montavir.
And that's why
he's
putter?
That's why he's putter. That's why he's putter.
It would work for the Rosh then. Montavir strengthens Rosh. That's what Rosh is saying, right?
Again, you have to look at it like this. You start with the Gemara. That's given. Montavir Tavar is given. That's the Gemara's rule. That's axiomatic. Now the question is, well, what do I do with that? So Rashi says, that could coexist with the possibility that's the Baal HaKeli that's throwing it. Why? Because even with the Baal HaKeli throwing it, I still need a reason to make the person on the floor a putter. He's not putter by virtue of the fact that it's the Baal HaKeli that's throwing it. If it was the Baal HaKeli that threw it, according to the Rosh, I wouldn't need that. I wouldn't mean monet sevir tavar, because I know it. Pasha. That's why the Rosh is saying no. It's not the Baal HaKeli that's throwing it. It's someone else, third party.
Well, what about better for the third party according to Rashi?
Third party according to Rashi. Third party according to Rashi, the person on the ground would still be potter. Still be potter, but you would need to tell me monet sevir tavar. That's why he's potter.
Now, I really don't understand the difference between Manat Tavir Tavar and Aveda Midas.
Aveda Midas tells me... Aveda Midas basically tells me that I'm relinquishing ownership. It's a din in ownership. It's not a din in breakage, per se. Manat Tavir Tavar is basically saying this thing is good as broken.
It's the same thing. I don't see a difference.
Okay, you want to know the nafkamina between... Let's say I hold a Veda Midas, right? And I didn't break it. And I just took it out of the air. And I took it home and I kept it for myself. What would you say? So if you hold a Veda Midas, then that's fine. It's hefker. But let's say you don't hold a Veda Midas. Then maybe you don't have a right to do that. So one's a din in bilus. One's a din in bilus. And one's a din in the keli insofar as it's essentially broken. Rashi doesn't hold that without the rule of... Rashi holds that without the rule of Manat Tavir Tavar, I would not know that the person on the ground is Pater. Why? Because he doesn't hold of Aveda Midas. If I hold that this is not Hefker, you need another reason to Pater. You're right. If you hold of that rule, then yeah, I don't need the other rule. Not because of the same thing, but because he's Pater for another reason, more basic reason. You know what I mean?
So why does Rashi set it up as the owner's?
Oh, so that's the Rosh. The Rosh goes through and explains why Rashi was so convinced that it had to be the owner. Because the Gemara was silent as to the thrower. The Gemara only talks about the swatter. Why isn't it talking about the thrower? Oh, it must be that the thrower is a non-entity because he's the owner. Right?
Yeah, I just...
Let's take the Rambam's case. Let's take the Rambam. What would the Rambam say about this case? The owner throws the item off the roof. All they have is the concept of Aveda Midas. Am I allowed to swat it down and break it? No. I don't have to return it, but I'm not allowed to take it. But now I have a Chiddush? Mana Tavira Tavar? That's different. But if all I'm working with is the general principle of Hefker, it's not Hefker. This does not make Hefker. The Rush understands that, yeah, it's enough to make it Hefker. Throwing it in a place where it's more likely than not going to break, or putting it in a situation more likely than not going to break, it's a removal of my ownership. That's enough. Rashi says, no, you didn't remove your ownership. You only remove your ownership when you did something that's definitive insofar as it's removal from your bylaws. But because it still has a possibility of getting back to you, it's not definitive.
So why, according to the Rashi, the same in Akira Tavar?
According to Rashi?
Rashi.
According to the Rush?
It's already here.
No, because the Rush holds it's not the Baal Keli that's throwing.
Someone stole
it. The Rush is holding it to third party. Third party's throwing it. That's why I need Mana Tavira Tavar. But you're right, if you're the Rush and it's the Baal HaKeli who's throwing, you don't need Mana Tavira Tavar. That's exactly the point.
Doesn't Mana Tavira Tavar show you that it can't be the Baal HaKeli?
That's what he's saying. It would be Pasha. You're right, that's what he's saying. Okay? So this is one approach to this this machlokas. Question?
Then you seem to be implying you have no care, you don't want it, you have no need for it anymore. If I take take a trophy and I smash it, I'm rendering it ownerless. I don't care for it anymore. I want it to be in the garbage, I want it gone.
Is that always the case? I'm just playing devil's advocate for a second.
I'm saying breaking isn't like not taking apart. Taking apart is a different word. Breaking something is breaking something.
You can still have a constructive use for it.
I'm throwing something off the top of a roof.
A trophy is no longer a trophy. It's a piece of roof.
What? No, I understand. Like, that
you're roughly
like,
a trophy.
That's
the case. The only thing
that
matters here.
Okay, well, actually, somebody can throw stuff like that. Say they're moving. They have all these pots on the top of the thing. They don't want to break them off. They just want to put them off the roof because they're not going to take them down the stairs. They could do something like that. I'm saying they may, like, the reason they have the cushion case. I was just this specific case. They could have them down the east. They could be just throwing it not off the roof on the ground, but just to the other roof. And store it. Then they don't take it away.
Listen to this. I'll read you a little bit of this Birka Shmuel, and you tell me what he's saying. He's saying a different idea. Okay? But I want you to try explaining to me what he's saying. This is in Simon Yud Aleph, at the end of Os Aleph.
Right.
Birka Shmuel was Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz. Called it the Birka Shmuel because he credited his father with his success in learning. So he said like this, Kosov HaNesivos, the Nesivos that we quoted before, B'simen Reish Samach Aleph, Demari D'yachal Atzilo. Right? Like we said, that it could be saved. And that the Rashi and Rush are talking about a case where the item could still possibly save. Okay? Oh, Kosov HaGon HaAmiti, Ha'av Bezdin D'Brisk Shlita, the Mikavon, Sha'afilu HaShvarim, Yesh Lahem K'tzas Eze Shivoi. He's saying a different approach now. That the Shvarim, Shvarim?
Sound?
No.
Pieces?
No. Why is a Shvarim called a Shvarim?
It's in pieces.
Is this there are multiple
shard
pieces. A Shever is a piece. A Shvarim is right? It's broken. It's broken up. That's a Shever. That's why each one of those little beeps is called a Shever. The sum total of those beeps is called a Shvarim, because it's three or five Shvarim. But each one alone is called a Shever. A Shever is a broken piece or a shard. So here you have a Shever, or now multiple Shvarim, but each one, Yesh Lam K'tzah Shivoi. K'tzah is a Shivoi. Vafilia pachas mi shavu pruta, even though it might be less than shavu pruta, mikomokom kvar yesh al hakelim din bailim, should still have ownership. Al yedesha dain shavu pachas mi shavu pruta. Val kain lo shayach shuv din shiya nafka din bailim, ayedeshu avod. Therefore, the mere fact that I threw it in such a way that it's going to be broken, right, shouldn't necessarily remove bailus. The hasof sof adayin yishlam din bailim. Why should that remove the fact that I'm still the Bailim? V'shuv neschayv v'tashlumen, they ain't no hefker. It's not hefker. V'avud, u'mashan kel shiva shalkeli shlema. Hinami debasar besof azlinam v'tali rakim chashu v'shviya aydei din debasar mikar azlinam. V'alamayin nomer sheyipata aydei deleka dam zeh lormiyan. Okay. Without getting too far afield, what's this idea that the Birka Shmuel is saying? There's a shavius to the shivrei kelim, and therefore, according to Rashi, the shvira is not considered hefker. What does that mean?
We're saying that broken shards still have ownership.
He's saying that the fact that I dismantled something and that I broke something doesn't necessarily demonstrate. Hey, doesn't demonstrate my lack of ownership. Why should it show my lack of ownership? I just broke it. I took it apart. I reconfigured it, right? I took something that was in this orientation, and now it's a chiddush, right? And now I took it all apart, and I have a bunch of little pieces. Why should that necessarily mean that I no longer want it? It has value. Maybe I could use it for other things. It doesn't. What's that?
Throw a piece of Lego off a roof, it falls.
Lego?
The pieces are still usable. It's
really hard to...
You mean a Lego? Yeah, I took something that was all together.
That's a way different scenario.
Hey, let's take that case. I made something with Lego. I made something with Lego, and then I smash on the ground. Is anyone going to say, oh, he doesn't want that stuff anymore? He doesn't want it anymore. How do I know? Because he took it all apart.
You're not breaking anything in that case.
That's my point. That's exactly what I'm saying. You're breaking it in this orientation, but those pieces have some utility. So
you want the shards of a pot so you can use
exactly
it right on
there. Exactly. It's not, you know, an impossible way of viewing what happened. But even if it's not what you intended, the fact is that Lamaisa, those things have. You ever see how they made covers or lids in the time of Chazal? They used broken pieces of pottery for other things. Right, that's something called a mustaki. What's a mustaki? Mustaki was an earthenware vessel that was made and it was smashed and then it was reconstituted. They would reuse broken shards of earthenware.
Probably going to go scatter.
Forget about whether or not the pieces are so small. That's irrelevant.
No,
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Like if I want a smash pot, I want all my pieces.
Right.
You just go and smash things. And
you're saying, I want to throw it off the roof.
I throw it off the roof. It's going to land somewhere. If you come and hit it with a bat, it's going to go flying somewhere else.
So you're giving more reason to believe that this was intentional?
Yeah.
Right, it's clearly intentional. I'm throwing it off the roof. Now the question is, do I have to assume that when I threw it off the roof, that's it? It's a rejection of my bialis. That I'm now saying I'm relinquishing bialis. So according to the Rush, again, we're back to where we started. If you throw something like that in a situation where it's more likely than not going to be destroyed, that's it. You showed a rejection of your bialis because you showed that you don't care about this anymore. You're not exercising dominion and control over it in the same way that you would when you kept it nicely and you took care of it and you maintained it. That's the way people treat their property. People don't treat property with such abandonment that they're throwing it off the roof and letting come what may. So the Birka Shmuel is saying that maybe that's what Rashi means. Rashi is not willing to say this is hefker because the pieces still have utility. So just because you don't want them in this orientation, who's to say that you don't want them anymore? They still have a value. They still have some use. So as long as I could still look at the thing as having some use and some value, I don't have the right to say it was hefker. Until which time, like you said before, maybe he did something that absolutely demonstrated hefkeris. Meaning, I don't know, he went to Bezdin, in front of Bezdin, he said, Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Or he did make some proclamation. Whoever wants this can come and take it.
You need him for that.
Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker?
Well, if you...
Okay, in any event, that's another possibility.
Is there also an implied Hefker?
This, you have to... Rashi's still the same Rashi. Because of Manat Tavir Tavar. Because of the Chiddush. Because of the Chiddush, Manat Tavir Tavar. That's why he's...
Maybe he wants to break in a certain way. Now this guy's ruining the way he wants to break.
I guess we don't say that. I guess we don't get down to such a... In terms of bailus, we say you still want it. In terms of how you break it, I guess we don't go that far. That's part of the chiddush. I'm not breaking something that wasn't broken. You broke it. See, what Rashi's saying is that this is a chiddush. The Gemara, why does the Gemara have to tell you this? Why does the Gemara have to tell you, Manat Tavir Tavar? Oh, because you wouldn't know that on your own. It's not logical. I mean, I don't want to say it's not logical. I mean, it's not something that you would come to on your own. You're right. Hefker, well, you know. That's a well-established principle. But since I don't hold it as a hefker, I need another reason why he's potter. So you ask me, how far does that go? Do I say, well, he wanted it to break in a certain way, and now I'm violating his rutzon? Apparently, I don't say that. If I take it, then I'm saying something wrong. Right? Because it's not hefker. All right. There's one other approach here. Classic approach. The Beis Halevi has a slightly different approach. What does this guy want? What is the... Sort of coming back to what you mentioned. What's the rutzon of the Baal over here? It's his object, right? It's his property. And he has the right to use his property in whatever way he sees fit. What does he want to do with his property here?
Yeah.
He wants to, for whatever reason. It's not our business right now. Yeah, he wants it. Maybe he wants the release. He's picking some pent-up aggression. He wants to smash it. He has a right to use it that way. Or he wants to, I don't know, startle someone, which maybe not allowed to do for other reasons. But he wants to do something. He wants to chase away a cat instead of making too much noise downstairs. So he wants to take this, and he wants it to make that, or a burglar. He wants it to make that smashing sound. He wants that effect. So it's his object. He has the right to do that. So when would it become hefker?
Once it's broken.
That's right. So basically, he wants to say that maybe even Rashi agrees that there is a concept of aveda midas, but the only time you could say that is once the item has been used in the way that it was intended. In this case, after it was broken. I'll say it's hefker, but only after it's broken. I'm not going to say hefker when it's mid-flight.
Because then he didn't get his
intended. Yeah, you're right. Once I'm breaking it, then I don't really care about it. Then I'm showing I don't care about it. But right now, this is part of my use of the object. See, this is different than what the Birka Shmuel is saying. The Birka Shmuel is saying, I'm not really mafkir. I'm not really mafkir because the pieces are still usable. I still have bilus over the pieces. Beis Halevi is saying, no, it's possible that even Rashi would agree that there is some form of hefker here, that there is an aveda midas, but that can only be spoken of when what? Once it's been destroyed. So, oh, but then I have the chiddush. The chiddush tells me, mona tzvir tava, no, I'm potter when I break it because of the chiddush. That's all these approaches. The approach that we mentioned at the outset, based on the Nesivos and based on Rav Shimon Shkop and the approach of the Birka Shmuel and the approach of the Beis Halevi, all these approaches are predicated on the fact that even Rashi agrees that the swatter is potter, but you need the chiddush of Mona Tvira Tavar to be potter him. He's not potter because of Hefker. The question is, why not? So the first approach that we took was because this is not hefker, right? The second approach we also took was that this is not hefker. The third, this last approach, we're saying, no, there really is hefker, but hefker doesn't set in yet. Hefker doesn't set in until it's fully broken. Oh, so why am I potter? Not because of hefker. I'm potter because of mona tevira tavar. But it's funny because according to the Beis Halevi, this thing would actually become hefker once I was able to use my vessel in the way I wanted. Once the vessel met its intended outcome, then it would be hefker. Then I don't really have any intention of reclaiming the pieces. So it's a totally different mahalach. Does everyone see the difference? Because the first two mahalachim that we took are basically assuming that Rashi does not entertain the notion of aveda midas being hefker. And therefore I need the chiddush of mona tevira tavar. This last approach is saying, no, there is hefker, but it's only later. So why you potter when you break it early? The chiddush of mona tevira tavar.
Why is Rashi saying you want tevira tavar to tell me that it's hefker or not? I mean, he holds it's not hefker ever.
That's what I'm trying to highlight now. According to the first two approaches that we presented, it's because he holds it's no hefker.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, in the last approach, he does hold his hefker,
but not
until it's broken. Aye, so why you potter when you broke it earlier? Mana the Tevira Tavar.
Why is Kippot the one you broke earlier?
The breaker. The swatter.
Right. I mean earlier is
the stick wielding guy on the before it hit the ground. Right?
According to the first two mandamim you said.
First the two approaches, yeah?
The Rashi still holds his hefker. I mean,
Rashi would not hold his hefker. Rashi doesn't hold his hefker at all.
Sorry, it's before.
I thought it was.
We said the Rosh says it's not it is hefker, sorry.
Right, but Rashi.
Rashi would say it's not hefker.
Rashi holds no such
Why?
Thing as.
Mandamim Torah teaches me.
No, that's nothing to do with hefker.
So what's the teaching? What's the chiddush of mandamim?
The chiddush is that you're breaking something that was basically broken already. It's omen lishaver. Something that's destined to be broken, it's like it's broken now. When you broke it, you broke a broken object. But if you didn't have that chiddush, that's a chiddush. If you didn't have that, you'd be chayiv. What business do you have to swat this guy's vessel?
And you still have no business, even after Mana Tavir, but it's just, there's nothing to pay it back for, isn't it? Kind of like it has Emel Damim.
Yeah, you didn't do
once
what?
Once we give it this category, it's not Emel that you're Damim. Allowed to be smashing it.
Emel Damim, I like that.
We were using,
Mishnah Melech.
On Thursday nights with Dr.
Koppel.
Oh,
nice.
So,
yeah, we had the other day.
You would still be high up for it, but there's nothing to be high up for, so you're fucked.
Right, that's what I said. That would be enough, Kamina, whether or not you can come later and just take it.
Right.
Or just grab it out of the air. Without the rule.
You didn't break something that has.
You broke something
value.
That has no value.
So it's not like you're allowed to be.
It's like it's broken already.
Right.
You have that throughout Shas, by the way. Kola omeid lishrof kisarof dami. Kola omeid liktzot kikatot dami. Here, what this rule is basically saying is kola omeid lishaver kishaver dami. Anything that's on a trajectory to be blown up, it's like it's blown up already. So therefore, when you come ahead and you sort of preempt the natural course of events, you haven't done anything untoward. Also, I'm not saying you're tzaddik for doing this. It's not a mitzvah to go around doing this, but if you did, you're pot there. Right? But the Beis Halevi's Mahalach is very different in the sense that he's basically saying, no, Rashi still agrees that Aveda Midas is called Hefker, it just doesn't set in until after the breakage. Right? Because when is it Hefker? Only after my Ratzon has been fulfilled. Because it's my vessel, I have the right to use my vessel in the way they want. What do you mean it's Hefker? This is the way I want to do this. This is what I want to do. Why should it be Hefker before I got to live out my fantasy of breaking this Keli? Right? Oh, once it's destroyed, okay, now you can do what you want. Alright? Alright, what I'd like to do, maybe we'll leave it for tomorrow. What I'd like to do tomorrow then is to move over to Yud Zayin. Did you guys get to go through that case? Be honest.
Yeah.
Did they go through the whole come over there?
How far is this? Yeah.
It's like five lines.
Yeah.
I got the most.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think we stop one.
Okay, so tomorrow we'll go over that Gemara, and then we'll take a look at the Rishonim there. The Rishonim, the Rif, the Balmor, and the Mochamos all discuss that case, the case of the pecking chickens, and what exactly is going on there, and how to understand that case. So we'll move over to that tomorrow. Okay, that's just in case I forget, Zach, it's Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Got it?
Are we going to
All right, have a good day.
Are we going
to
discuss
goal?
Yeah, we're going to get to cushion case also.
So you bred it with...
Thank you, Robinson.
No, thank you.
I don't get where we're looking. I just don't mean how's it getting full.
Have a frozen, you have a piece of chicken, right?
Yeah, I think it's We can't fry for
it. How do you regulate that?
Egg.
Bread crumb.
Okay. So when you put the egg, the bread crumb, right? We add one of the into that menu.
What? Honestly, what are you talking about?
This kid wants to make some awesome schnitzel. Oh, I don't know. Where
I thought of this idea for awesome schnitzel last night.
And I don't know what part of your
why don't you go to Holy Schnitzel and tell them.
We've got some good cooking.
Have a nice day. Good to see you.
Poppers.
Were you successful yesterday with the purchases?
Yeah.
Shades and ready shades. You threw around the ready shades there.
Oh, it's awesome. I got them. I didn't get the string one.
Yeah. What, they have a string one?
Yeah, I think so.
It's probably more expensive.
I did the clip.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were asking.
Yeah, it was good. $8.
Yeah.
Got a Shabbos lamp.
Okay.
Or a fly swatter.
Nice.
You need a fly
swatter. Yeah, once in a while flies, you know, you gotta kill them somehow. It's not on Shabbos.
Oh, wow, it's still recording, sorry.
Are you serious?